Good morning, beloved. Oh man, I'm excited today to share with you some word. Praise God. Man, this is amazing. I've meditated on these scriptures forever and have seen so many things, but oh my goodness, these last few days just staying in the same portion of scripture and reading over and over and meditating on every single verse. It's like, God, I want to know exactly what you're saying here. And man, you've got to take a look at these scriptures. And if you get a chance, sit down and read these chapters slowly and look at these scriptures. The key here in Romans 7 and Romans 8, what we were talking about yesterday, how so many of us have, there's no condemnation, there's no condemnation. And what we're trying to say by that is there's no guilt, there's no shame. We all come short of God's glory, so there's no condemnation. But this scripture has absolutely nothing to do with that. But what it does say is much, 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 much better than we no longer have guilt or shame. What it does say is absolutely amazing. Now, the word condemnation, it's only in the Bible three times here in Romans. And what it's dealing with is what happened to us through Adam's sin. And I studied this word condemnation and looked in every one of the dictionaries, and only one had a real long explanation of it, the Greek New Testament explanation of words or whatever. And what the word actually means is condemnation means the permanent imprisonment for a debt we can never pay. Now you've got to understand that to find out how amazing, how awesome these scriptures are. So, condemnation, what does it mean? It means the permanent imprisonment for a debt we cannot pay. What Adam did when he sinned is he locked us all in a prison that none of us could get out of. And Romans 7 describes that prison. It describes that prison in detail. And it tells us that God sent the law, He gave us the law to arouse what was inside of us. The iniquity was already there. We were already in this prison through what Adam did. But the law revealed our iniquity. The law showed us our prison, and the law made our prison visible to us, to where we did not know we were in prison. Before the law came, we didn't know that we were in a prison at all. We didn't know we were in bondage. But when the law came, it revealed to us our iniquity, and it brought us into even a deeper state of imprisonment, because now we knew what we were supposed to do, and we tried to do it. And the more we tried to do it, the more our chains were heavy, and the more we saw our imprisonment, and the more our imprisonment was manifested. Now, this is so absolutely beautiful, because what he says in Romans 7 is that the law brought about the revelation of this imprisonment. And whenever it came, it aroused our sinful passion that was already on the inside of us. And sin took advantage of those commandments and brought us to death. What does it mean, brought us to death? First, it revealed our prison. But then it brought us to, how does it bring us to death? It brought us to death because when we tried to keep it, when we tried to do what God said to do, we failed over and over and over again. And the more that we failed, the more discouraged we got, the more broken we were, until we had no hope and we had no energy left. We had no will to live anymore. This is what the law was sent to do. Oh my God, if you could get this in your spirit. The law was sent to bring us to a place where we no longer wanted to live, where we no longer had any vitality. We could not do it. No matter how hard we tried, we could not be righteous until it brought us to death. Oh my goodness. Now, what Paul says is the process of the law. The way that it works is it brings commandment, and then it arouses that sinful iniquity inside of our flesh. And then when we try to do it, we fail over and over and over and over again. And so he says in Romans 7, this is the condition that we are all in. And in the end of Romans 7, he says, this is important. He says, wretched man that I am, most miserable is what that means, wretched. I am absolutely dead. I am wretched. I am miserable. Who, here's important, who will set me free from this body of death? Oh my God, this is amazing. Who will set me free from this body of death? Now watch. He said, the law brought me into this prison. The door's locked. I can't get out. No matter what I do, I cannot be righteous for God because of this flesh, because of this body I live in. It is impossible for me to be righteous. It's impossible for me to do what God wants me to do. So who can set me free from this flesh? Who can set me free from this prison that I'm in? Is there anybody that can open this prison door and set me free from the permanent imprisonment for a debt that I can never pay? And then he says, oh man. And then he says, thank God. Let me back up and look at this real quick. He said, who can set me free from this body? That thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes into Romans chapter 8 and he says, therefore, there's no condemnation. Now, watch this. Therefore, there's no permanent imprisonment for a debt we can never pay. Therefore, the imprisonment, the prison door is opened and we are released from our bondage to decay. Oh man, we're released from our bondage to the flesh through Christ Jesus and through the power of his cross and through the power of his Holy Spirit. My God, this is amazing. And what's amazing to me is how I don't know anybody that's preaching this. Almost everybody in the modern church is saying, no condemnation, brother. And what they're saying is, no guilt, no shame. They're not saying there's no more imprisonment to bondage. That's not what they're saying. They're not saying the prison door has been opened, so we are free from the bondage to decay if we walk in the spirit of life that is in Christ. Now, when you go and read Romans 8, you'll see what he's talking about. There's no more permanent imprisonment if we are in Jesus Christ. He has set us free from trying to do it and failing, trying to do it and failing, because we can never do it. So what we could not do, what we couldn't do, God did it. He, by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh. He put it to death. Why? So that the requirements of the law could be fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that we will be able to do what God wants us to do because we're no longer in prison, and the prison was what kept us from being able to do what God wanted us to do. It's very plain if you'll meditate on it, if you'll look at it. It's extremely plain and extremely clear, but Satan has blinded us to it because we don't understand the principles of the two covenants. And so what he's saying here is that in Christ Jesus, the prison door has been opened, and we can now walk in the righteousness of God. We can now fulfill God's righteous requirement. Why? Because we're not under the law anymore. We're walking in the spirit of life. The law was for the life of Adam, and it revealed its iniquity. Well, when Jesus put that life to death, which is what this entire context is talking about, when he put that life to death, he gave us a new life. And the life of Jesus Christ fulfills the law of God. The life of Jesus always does what the Father says to do, always does what he sees the Father doing, always says what he hears the Father say. And that's all that he does. He does nothing else except for 100% perfect obedience to the Father all the time. The life of Jesus Christ is always obedient, and it can be obedient. As a matter of fact, it can't do anything but be obedient. It is the righteousness of God. Whereas the life of Adam couldn't do anything but be disobedient. Oh my goodness. But the life of Jesus Christ can't do anything but be obedient. So the spirit of life that is in Christ has made me free from the prison that I was in through my iniquity and through the law, where I could not do what God wanted me to do. Now I can. Now I can. Why can I? Because I died. Because I died, and the life that I now have is the obedient life of Jesus. Now I've got to learn to walk in his life rather than my own, because my own life is a prisoner. My own life is in bondage and can never get out. It is impossible. That's why it had to die. Oh my. That's why my life had to die. I've been teaching this for years and years, but man, I've never seen it so clearly in Romans 7 and 8. Until God dealt with me about taking this no condemnation out of context. And why did he deal with me about that? He didn't deal with me about that to scold me. He wanted to show me how really amazing and powerful and beautiful and strong. Oh my God, this scripture is so amazing, friend. I just run around the room and cry and shout and say hallelujah, because this scripture is so absolutely beautiful and powerful. My goodness. There is no permanent imprisonment for a debt we can never pay anymore, because we died and we have a new life. So when God says to do something, not only can we do it, but we want to do it, and we're free to do it. When God says to do something, if we're walking in the life of Jesus, it's very easy to do. We want to do it. God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But we've got to turn away from the flesh, because if we walk in the flesh, we will continue to experience the same bondage and the same prison. Why? Because the flesh is the natural man, and that's what he put to death on that cross. So if we believe what he accomplished and confess what he accomplished, we can learn how to lay hold of this new life that we have. The new life that we have is not in bondage. The new life we have gladly, easily obeys the Father every second and every moment. So Romans 8 is not saying that we don't have to feel guilty anymore when we sin. Oh my God, what a terrible, terrible, terrible disservice we've done to the Word of God by twisting it and taking things out of context. Romans 8 is telling us we're no longer in that prison when we're walking in the life of Jesus, because we are now able to fulfill God's righteous requirements. We're able to keep the law, not necessarily every a jot and tittle of Moses's, we don't do the sacrifices and all that. But of course, not only do we not kill, not only do we not commit murder, but in the life of Christ, we never even hate anybody. Amen. Not only do we not commit adultery, but in the life of Christ, we never even think about committing adultery. We never even lust after someone else's spouse. We don't walk in the lust of the flesh. All who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with all of its lust and all of its affections. When did they do that? On the cross, when they died with him, that flesh died. So we've got to learn the difference of walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is through revelation. The Spirit's here to teach us what Jesus accomplished all the time. He's here to show us what was accomplished at the cross. What was accomplished? The natural man was put to death. That's the prisoner. If you walk after the flesh, you will die still. You're still going to die if you walk after the flesh. But if you walk in this spirit of life, you will put to death the misdeeds of your body. Jesus Christ has set us free from our body of death. How did he do it? He went to that cross and took that body of death and nailed it to that cross. And if we'll believe what he accomplished, then we can access the power of his resurrection. And we can truly walk in 100% righteousness all the time. Now, that's a scary statement for the flesh. The flesh cringes when it hears something like that because it knows that it can't. It's felt the bondage. It tried. Many times it tried and it tried and it tried and it tried and it failed. And nothing is more, what's the word for it? It puts the flesh, nothing's more terrible to the flesh than hearing that we can walk in perfect righteousness all the time. Why? Why does the flesh cringe when it hears something like that? Because it knows it can't. It's tried. It tried its hardest. It knows that it can't. And so when someone comes along and says, we can walk in perfect righteousness all the time, the flesh is like, Arr! Why? Because it can't. It knows it can't. We cannot walk in righteousness in the flesh. There's no way. As long as you're trying to obey the commandments of God in your natural life, you cannot walk in his righteousness. All you're going to do is get deeper and deeper and deeper into despair. That's why the law was given. So if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to despair, because that's exactly the purpose of it, to bring you to the end of yourself, to bring you to the place where you completely do not want yourself anymore. You don't want the natural man anymore. You don't want the flesh. You don't want the life you were born with, and you're willing to walk away from it forever. The only thing that will cause you to be willing to walk away from your life forever is the seeing of its bondage. So the law came and aroused that sinful passion and brought that flesh deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into prison until you didn't want to live anymore. Now, friend, this is from the Holy Ghost, so don't miss it. My God in heaven, don't miss it. This is why God has me involved in prison ministry and why we do prison ministry. When I was in prison, you came in and visited me, Jesus said. Why? Because in prison, now listen, when I go to the prison, I see the gospel displayed in front of me. Those who have a chance to get out of that prison, they never really want to give up their life. They always come and ask me to pray for their life, to pray they get out of prison, to pray they have favor with the judge, to pray that their lawyer does well, to pray that they get the money, that everything's about getting out of the prison. But those who have no hope, those who cannot get out, those who have life in prison without parole, many of them tried and tried and tried, and every avenue has been exhausted, and they can't get out. Now, when I share with them this truth that if they'll give up their life forever, if they'll walk away from themselves forever, they can have this life of Jesus Christ. Many of them, friend, many of them are ready and open to do that. Why are they ready? Because they have no hope for their natural life anymore. As long as a human being has hope for their natural life, as long as a human being puts any stock in their natural man and hopes for something good to come out of it, he will never give up his life completely, and he will never walk in the life of the last Adam completely. It's impossible. So the law was sent to make our bondage worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until we realized how deep and dark the prison was that we are all in. And that brought us to a place where we're willing to turn away from the flesh, turn away from our natural man, and we don't want our life anymore. I've experienced this several times in my Christian life. First, in the beginning, where I didn't want myself anymore. That's the only time in my Christian life where I've walked in full glory and power. I'd say full. I'm sure there's more, but more than I could ever imagine, where it's near perfect righteousness every second, where it's just easy to say no to everything that's not God. When you don't give up your life, you're in bondage. You're constantly in bondage. Even if you try to do what God says to do, even if you try to walk in the new covenant scriptures, even if you try to confess, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, no condemnation, no con, you're still in bondage and you still sin and you're still walking in all this junk and you're still frustrated. Why? Because you haven't given up your life. But that law's there to bring you to the end of yourself where you don't want you anymore. This just happened to me again last year. It just happened. Went through all kinds of pain, all kinds of darkness, and I know why. I know why now. I know why. Because I started to want some of my life again. I started to be upset at God because he didn't give me what I wanted in my family. He didn't give me what I wanted in my church. You know, my life was miserable, you know. And it was, I was like, God, you didn't give me. And what was happening? Jeff didn't get what he wanted. And so I went back to the flesh, walking in the flesh, allowing compromise. First, it was just riding dirt bikes. You know, that's, ain't nothing right, wrong with riding a dirt bike, I'm sure. But for me, there was, because it was just out of discouragement, out of frustration. Just forget it. Instead of studying and praying all the time, I'm going to go ride dirt bikes. I quit really. I used to study every day, 5, 6 hours a day, pray all day long, all the time. But just got discouraged and just went back to Jeff and didn't realize I went back to Jeff. And found that bondage is just as real as it's ever been. And oh God, he brought me to the deepest, darkest place I've ever been. But once again, oh my goodness, it brought me to the place where I don't want anything to do with me. It's amazing because it just quit. I even quit eating. I just wanted to die. That's what Paul said. We had the sentence of death within ourselves. But this happened that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So when I didn't want to live anymore, the law, once again, my flesh, the bondage of the flesh, brought me to the place where I did not want to live to such an extent that I quit eating. Somebody said, man, you're fasting a lot. What do you? I said, man, I haven't. And I answered the question. They thought, oh my God, what? That guy's crazy. You know what I said? I said, I'm not eating because I have no desire to sustain this. And I pointed to the flesh. I don't have any desire to sustain it. I don't want to sustain it anymore. I don't want it to live anymore. I remember saying, God, there's no use for me to live because everything I touch, I corrupt. And I have nothing in me to offer the world. They're not ready for the gospel. And now I'm in the flesh and I can't do anything right. And so God, I begged God to die. I begged him for months. I begged him to die. I remember one time, you'll think I'm crying. I even asked God, Lord, whatever it takes, cancer, I don't care what it is. You know, I just want to die. I was hoping I would be killed. I was hoping I wouldn't wake up. I just didn't want to live anymore. And then when I just stopped eating, said, okay, God, I'm done. I stopped eating. I stopped watching TV. I stopped doing everything that I liked to do, everything I wanted to do. And when I did that, and I turned back to him, I said, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done. The glory came once again. This is a picture, friend. If we walk after the flesh, we'll die. But if we walk in the life of Jesus Christ, we'll live. There's only one way to do that. If you don't hate your own life, you can't be his disciple. It's it. Oh my God, I hope you don't miss this message. If you don't hate your life, you can't be his disciple. You're going to be in the cage. And you're going to wonder why you're frustrated. And you're going to keep going through frustration. You're going to keep compromising. You're going to keep turning to lust. You know, maybe not all the time, but you're going to keep battling with things like that. Keep battling with constant temper, or keep battling with discouragement or depression or whatever. But there'll be compromises riddled throughout your life because that's what your life is. Your life is just a big bundle of sin and iniquity. And you know, you don't see it until God starts putting demands on it. That's what Romans 7 and 8 is about. When God starts putting demands on your life, it exposes what it actually is and brings you into the depths of bondage and reveals to you are not righteous at all. Nothing you do is righteous. Nothing. You are completely evil and wicked, and everything you do is corrupt. Now, that's nobody wants to hear that kind of stuff today because they don't understand it. You know, the Baptist preacher, we're just all sinners, 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 sinners. And then all the charismatics, like, I'm not just a sinner, so I'm the righteousness of God. And both of them are in darkness. Both of them are completely ignorant of the truth. The truth is, that's all we are, is wicked, evil, nasty sinners. That's why we had to die. That's where they're missing it. The Baptists don't know that we died. They think we're still wicked, nasty, evil sinners. In the flesh, friend, we are. But the truth is that we died. So we are not those things anymore. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. But if we don't walk in Christ, if we walk after the flesh, then we are not the righteousness of God, or at least we're not walking in the righteousness of God. Let me state it that way. But I can state it either way. There's no problem. Paul does it. He said, I know that there's no good thing in me. He said, I no longer live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And then he said, there's no good thing in me. So he stated it both ways. There's nothing wrong with that. The reason we can't do that is because we're so immature. We're so scared of the scriptures because they bring us into bondage. Anything that tells us you better be righteous brings us immediately into bondage if we're walking in the flesh. So we resist it. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they could not handle a bunch of scriptures. They're like, I died. I never sin anymore. He came on YouTube, the message, I was listening to a sermon. He's like, I don't sin anymore. I never sin anymore. I'm free from sin. I never sin. And I knew exactly what he was talking about, so I confronted him on it. What he was doing was saying, because I died with Jesus, even if my flesh is sinning every day, it's not me. And so he twisted his mind because he couldn't handle his bondage. And I guarantee you he's still in bondage. Why? Because you can't get out of bondage by twisting the word of God. You can't get out of bondage by saying the flesh no longer exists. You can't get out of bondage by acting like you don't sin anymore. You can't. It's true that your spirit, if it's born of God, does not sin. That's true. It's also true that your flesh is part of your earthly identity. Paul said, I know there's no good thing in me. It's also true that you were crucified with Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In this flesh, in this decaying flesh, we have this life of Jesus. And it is true that you have to continue every day to reject your own life, or you cannot walk in the life of Jesus Christ. It's not a one-time thing. You have to do it every single day. You've got to reject your natural life. At any moment that you start to want your life again, you will start to go back into the prison. You'll start to go back into the condemnation, the permanent imprisonment for a debt you can never pay. That came from Adam, and it applies to the life of Adam. It applies to the flesh. The only thing that sets us free from the permanent imprisonment for a debt we can never pay, the only thing that sets us free from that is our death. We had to die. We died with him. If we're found in the likeness of his death, rejecting our life, denying our life, and reckoning it crucified continually, and not walking in it, and hating it, if we're found in that likeness, then we shall also be found in the likeness of his resurrection, of his life. So you can't walk in the power of the resurrection until you hate your own life and reckon it crucified and turn away from it. So Romans 8 is not teaching that we don't have to be guilty. We don't have to feel bad anymore when we sin. It's teaching the prison door has been opened when we died with Jesus Christ. Now the righteous requirements of the law can be fulfilled in us if we don't walk after the flesh and we walk after the Spirit. And he explains it in Romans 8. He says, if you're living according to your flesh, you must die, even now. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. How do you do that? I just explained that. You reject your own life continually. You believe in what he accomplished, and you lay hold of the life of Jesus Christ. This is what walking after or in the Spirit means, the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. He is here. The life is here to help us walk, not help us, to enable us to walk in the full righteousness of God all the time, every second, every moment. This is what the flesh can't handle because it doesn't believe. I guarantee you, many people listening to this do not believe it. You can't. Your flesh is so scared to believe it that it's actually possible for a human being to walk in the life of Jesus Christ all the time and never sin and always do what God wants us to do. It's possible. The reason that we're not walking in that life is because we do not think it's possible. But the only way it's possible is through believing what he accomplished on that cross, if you really believe it. Did you die? If you really died and you really have the righteous life of Jesus, then friend, you can really walk even as Jesus walked. You can do the same things Jesus did, not on your own volition, but by walking in the Spirit, submitting to the Father, only doing what you see Him do, only saying, I have preached this for years and thought it was a, I began to think it's an unreachable goal, but I always preached it's going to happen. It is going to happen. The body of Christ is going to come to a place where we only do what we see Him do and only say what we hear Him say until we come into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Not only is it possible, friend, it must happen and it will happen because what He did, He finished the work. The word did not return void. That's not talking about us preaching. The word, that was a prophecy. The word will not return void, but will accomplish what it was sent to do. It did not return void. The word came and accomplished everything it was sent to do. Now it sat down at the right hand, expecting every enemy to be made his footstool, for he has forever perfected them that are sanctified in him. That are set apart in his life, they are forever perfected. They just don't know it. They don't realize it, and they're still loving their own life, and they're still trying to ask God. This is why deception, everything that's dark, everything that's deception is to get you to hang on to your own life, to get you to believe God loves your life, to get you to ask God to bless your life. Every bit of it's to keep you in your own life because Satan knows that is your bondage. That is your prison. If he can keep you in your flesh, if he can keep you seeking God for your flesh, then he keeps you in bondage forever. And why does he want to do that? Because Jesus made a public spectacle out of him, triumphing over him. The life of Jesus has all dominion over the devil. When we walk in the life of Jesus, we can cast devils out everywhere we go. He has no authority or power over us. We can absolutely destroy his kingdom everywhere we go. So Satan is terrified of you finding out that you died and that the life you now have is his boss. The life you now have has defeated him once and for all. He's terrified of us finding that out. So he's trying to keep us in the flesh. So that we can never get out of the cage. Oh my God, friend, if you can get what Jesus has done at that cross, my God in heaven, oh, open our eyes and open our ears. If we could believe what he's done and confess what he's done and turn away from our own life, friend, there is nothing impossible for us. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I'm not talking about some crazy charismatic thing. What I'm talking about is we can walk in the same life that Jesus walked in. We can do the same things Jesus did. Always submitted to the Father, always walking in the life of the Father, raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick. This is what Jesus does. If we're not doing it, it's because we're walking in the flesh and we don't yet understand what he's accomplished. We don't understand what he did. So we're not turning away from ourselves, and preachers are telling us God loves you and has a plan for your life. It's a bunch of bull snot. And I said it as nice as I could. I want to say the other thing. But it's a bunch of manure. There we go. That's a nice way to put it. It's a lie. It is a lie to keep you in bondage, friend. It's not working. It'll never work. As long as you want your life, as long as you ask God to bless your life, as long as you're given a tithe so God will prosper your life, my God, friend, you will never have the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll never do what Jesus did. You'll never walk in the power of what he accomplished. You'll never be quickened with the power of the same life that raised him from the dead. Man, may God open our eyes in Jesus' name. Whew, man, hallelujah. I guess I better stop. This is supposed to be a little devotion. But my goodness, oh my God, just go meditate on these scriptures. It's so powerful. My friend, whom the sun sets free, is free indeed. God bless you today.